one song. You just dropped the song. You just dropped one song. And somebody offered you $10 million. What you gonna do? You gonna take it?
He take it.
I'll take right it. Now, as a grown man, and you know what you're getting yourself into, you're still taking it because you're like, if I can't drop another song,
but the thing is, I wouldn't be.
I have
better. But they can. But they can afford to take that loss. Like mm-hmm. I can afford. You're eventually going to make my $10 million back.
Yeah, yeah.
You're either going to make it back in 20 years by keep performing this damn song mm-hmm. that you made.
Forever.
This one song, and hopefully you get another one. You're going to pay it back, so it's going to take you 20 years, or it's going to take you 2 years, and eventually you're going to have, right, mm-hmm. I'm going to get way more than $10 million oh, yeah. back now.
Because they own you now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a joke. But I still think... I think a lot of people are surprised by that, but I think athletes are like that too. You don't get taxes taken out your check,
and you giving people something that they ain't never had before, so it's gonna feel,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like these are, you know, athletes, musicians. They 1099 employees, man.
Right.
You got to do your own taxes.
But all right, y'all, it's time to get into it. It's time to get into it. This is Set the Bar. I'm gonna put you on notice podcast. Hey, and, hey, man.
We trying.
We in the studio. We not at the bar.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, iHeartRadio, man. Shout out to Bailey Coleman. V100.7. Man.
Fantastic.
Much love, Bales. I appreciate you for allowing us to take advantage of the studio. Welcoming the boy. Right back, because y'all know who it is. It's the boy, Mr. Watch Your What? Watch Your Tone. And I'm sitting here with Mr. Barney Moore.
That's me, Mr. B.
AKA. You know what I'm saying?
Doing my thing.
Yeah. And y'all know we got the boy LP back in the building. Y'all might know him from the cross up.
LP, even when we outside, we in the building.
Oh, okay. Look at this. Hey, man, we definitely hyped to be in the studio right now. And, you know, we going to jump into Set the Bar. Mm-hmm. Barney, you know what I'm saying? What is Set the Bar, Mr. B?
Set the Bar is financial education for the masses. Okay. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make stuff that's very up here, 50,000 feet. We're trying to bring it down to the street level.
Okay. And like every episode, you know, moving forward, what we're going to do is we're going to kick it off with who has set the bar this week. You know what I'm saying? In the sense that who has made a big money move that we should be aware of or something that we should just be put on notice about, man. So what do you think? What was a big money move this week?
I would say
last two weeks,
biggest money move I can think of would be our boy Kanye.
Go crazy.
Signing that $30 million deal with Netflix for his life story, basically.
Go crazy. Yeah.
That was impressive.
all them Kanye haters out there, Pat.
I'm not a Kanye.
Oh, I thought you was. I had to make sure.
I love Kanye.
I had to make sure.
I did used to not like Kanye, but I became more of a fan when I started, you know, going back and looking at his life uh-huh. and what he's been talking yeah. about and how he's been. He's not always right, but you can always see where his thought process was going. That documentary is going to be great, though.
I agree.
I'm excited.
They got 21 years. 21 years of his life.
Going crazy.
So it's not. So you'll get the beginning of when he was in the studio with Pharrell and Jay-Z.
Okay.
I think the one thing a lot of people will see is that Kanye has always been this same individual.
Yes.
Kanye has always, you know, preached his preach. He has always talked his talk. And, you know, and a lot of times people have accepted him for who he was then. And it was cute. You know, Kanye was being cute. That's just Kanye back then. But now they like, oh, Kanye crazy. Kanye spazzing. But no, Kanye has always been this way, y'all.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just my opinion. I can't wait to see this documentary. But
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think that's a big money move for the boy Ye.
So here's the thing. What do you think? How do you, if you're Netflix, why would you give Kanye $30 million? Why would you give Kanye $30 million? If you two are Netflix, why would you give that brother $30 million?
Well, just think about all the people that's going to tune in.
Yep.
Like, think about all the Kanye fanatics like myself that's going to be glued to the TV right when that drop. You know what I mean?
And think about how many people are going to join Netflix just because of this. That they weren't paying for Netflix.
Right.
But they want to see that They gonna buy it, even if they only keep it for 2 months. Man, Netflix makes money.
Man, I feel like Dave Chappelle already broke that. Woo! Dave Chappelle already did that. He brought everybody to Netflix.
Yeah, I feel like
that's true.
The biggest difference is with Kanye is just think about how many moments he's had in the last 21 years.
Wow.
Just pure moments. Like, you can go to Taylor Swift.
Right.
You can go to the George Bush comment.
The Trump.
You can go the Sway in the Morning thing. So, mm-hmm. If you just think about all those moments.
You ain't got all of the answers.
You ain't got them, Tom. Don't make me go crazy on this mic. But you got all those moments, and now you get an explanation of, like, what was happening. Like, what was going through Kanye's mind when he went on Sway in the Morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When did he get up out of his seat to go snatch that award from Taylor Swift? You know what I mean? What did he say to the people before he got up?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to hear that. America wants to hear that.
What preempted him to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
we about to find out.
And I can't,
usually questions like this don't get answered. You know what I mean? Like,
And it's not even like he gonna answer it. It's just gonna be filmed already in the sense that you might just see what happened leading up to that point.
That's right? What I wanna know.
Yeah, that's what I wanna know. I feel, because he felt like Beyonce. I feel like he did address this a few times, but he just felt like Beyonce did numbers that year, so she should have definitely been.
She did numbers and had a better album. Let's just be.
Hey, but everybody knock on Taylor Swift. I know this set the bar, but Taylor Swift has always done right by her music, by what she stand for, by our people. I feel like she has definitely stood up in political aspects and done things in that sense. Yeah. So, hey, salute to the girl Taylor, man.
I know Taylor Swift, but one thing I do gotta say, how many dudes is she breaking up with to keep getting all these songs?
This is the thing.
We started all friends.
Like, I know it's not the same dude in every damn song.
Is that Taylor Swift? That ain't Taylor Swift.
Oh, no. Since
she's been gone. Look, get back to set the bar, Barney.
But no, so, like, I look at Kanye, that's a huge move. $30 million. And one thing I want to say about Kanye is something that we talk about a lot on this show is betting on yourself.
Right.
Kanye has had many opportunities where it was take this $5 or bet on yourself for $0, but if it works, you'll get $100.
Right.
And he has done that and won every time. Yeah. I have massive respect for that, brother, because he sees he has a vision and he doesn't stop until he gets there.
And honestly, I do have this clip of Kanye, man. I want y'all to check this out.
Let's say you turned your back on the culture or
exactly 100%. I have turned my back on the idea of victimization mentality. We are locked up. We went from 1-4. We went from 1-4 to 1-3, but we always pointing at the white people. But yet we want to spend all of our money on foreigns. We want to spend all our money on luxury as opposed to going and buying some land. America is for sale, and there's a lot of barren land. Disney bought a lot of it in Florida, but the culture has you focused so much on fucking somebody, bitch, and pulling up in a foreign and rapping about things that could get you locked up and then saying you about prison reform. Like, it's, bro, we brainwashed out here, bro. Come on, man. This is a free man talking.
Yeah, man, it's like America is for sale. Y'all heard what the boy said, man. Kanye, you know what I'm saying? But Mr. B, man, you know, we did lose another great one this past week.
DMX,
rest in peace to the king.
The king.
You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to bring thanks for bringing it up, because DMX, big part of my life, you know, and I'm a little older than you cats, but I mean, I loved everything he put out.
Right.
And when you look at the numbers, 30 million records sold from like 1998 to 2003, he had 5 number one albums.
Sheesh.
Including 2 number one albums in the same year.
Sheesh.
There's 2 people that have done that, him and Tupac. That's it.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
Yeah. So with Tone leading, I do want to say that, you know, DMX, you was one of the best, man. So I think, getting into talking about a little bit about money management. We all know that he has some issues with that. So to kick off of that, I'm going to just talk a little bit more about, you know, like how does someone like DMX, who has sold all those albums, I think you've all seen it when you read the articles talking about his amazing career. A lot of times they end the article would say, you know, his net worth was about $1 million when he passed away. And I was depressed when I read that. And I didn't want to take away from all the great things about him. And so that's really all I want to say about that. But I want to talk about just how does someone get into that situation when they've had all that success?
Right.
And I think we see it all the time.
Right.
I think we have like athletes. I think people don't know that athletes, musicians are, you know, they get paid 1099, no taxes taken out.
Right.
So you always see actors and musicians and athletes getting in tax trouble. Why is that? Because they don't have good advice. You know, there should be someone advising these players. If you get a chance, take a look at Dwayne Wade's article. It just came out. It's talking about how he has a budget and $20 million a year on average. He's made $198 million in his career. He goes and meets with his financial advisor every 3 months to make sure he's still on budget.
Right. You said Dwayne Wade has a budget. Repeat that whole part.
Dwayne Wade, the NBA player, he has a budget. He lives by a budget, a monthly budget. Him, his wife, and his family, they have a limit of how much they spend on things, and they stick to it. His biggest desire, he said, when he left basketball, is he wanted to keep that same lifestyle.
Right.
But he's not going to be making $20 million a year. So how is he going to do that? He's going to have to manage the money he's already made. And so this is Dwayne Wade, who we all can appreciate that brother's greatness on the court.
Facts.
He's being great off the court. He's keeping his money. He's going to be a pillar like LeBron, a black businessman that's going to be much bigger than the sport he played at some point in his life.
Yeah.
So what's your, like, as far as when you guys think about athletes who have done well and musicians who have done well outside of their chosen field, who comes to mind for you guys? You guys think anybody?
I'll let you go first.
I guess the person that I think about the most would have to be Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know it. Yep. It seems like like the obvious choice.
And honestly, Miles is in comparison to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah. So like, I mean, you get all these things. Like obviously, you know, the shoes. Mm-hmm. But have you seen Jordan expand into golf?
Yes.
NASCAR.
Right.
Yeah.
You see his stuff on motorcycles now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you see his brand going to different places, and you see like his net worth, and you're wondering like, why don't these guys stop?
Yeah.
You give $20 million. You give
why don't these guys stop? For real though. Yeah. Like yeah. You're winning already.
You give $20 million to me. You probably won't see me for 10 years. I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 10 years before I start investing back after I probably blew, you know, $5 million. These guys are like at the top where they are trying to make sure that they can take care of their right. kids, their kids' kids, their kids, 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 and then also
generational.
And that's what I was about to say. That's that generational wealth.
Generational wealth. But then on top of that, after they got their generational wealth, so I bet you Jordan probably had his generational wealth probably maybe 5 years after his career.
Okay.
Then he doubled back and said, "Oh, I'm going to help my neighborhood."
Right.
Then he doubled back and then said, "I'm going to help another cause." Then he doubled back and said, "I'm going to help another cause." And then now we're getting all these, after, you know, the big comparison, which I'm a big LeBron fan, but we're getting all these comparison like, oh, Jordan didn't do this in his community. Now all the articles and stuff are coming out about what Jordan did.
Because it wasn't publicized.
It wasn't publicized.
Right. And the thing is, though, what I just heard you say is that these guys found a way to get to the top. They set a goal, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I want to get to the top. But it's not just about getting to the top or making that financial goal or, you know what I'm saying? It's about consistently keeping it or staying consistent while you're up there. Like, how do you stay consistent? And that's one thing I applaud the most for Michael Jordan, for Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, like all the athletes that are consistently doing it. I think that's harder to just get than just getting there.
Yeah.
You look at, I always think of Magic Johnson. So Magic Johnson, he has ownership stakes in the Dodgers,
right?
In the Lakers. He owns over 100 Starbucks. He owns movie theaters.
Magic Johnson Theaters, right.
Yeah, he was responsible for a lot of the development of the Midtown area here in Milwaukee. That was his Starbucks. That was his, all that development.
I did not know that.
Yeah. This is, that is a brother who I just look, I marvel at it.
Right.
But I also think it's like any of us. Tone, if you do a really fantastic show, you want to stop? No. You want to do another fantastic
right,
show.
Right, right,
right. You know? And these brothers, they have nothing to get that high again where it was like, you know, there's no more crowd cheering. So you know what? I'm going to do something else to get everybody's attention.
And right. That's, and that's what, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be the best at everything.
Right. And one dude that do need a lot of recognition when it comes to, like, you know, continuing to elevate himself is, I think he gets it, but I don't think he gets it enough, is P. Miller.
Huh.
And I'm talking about Master P.
Whoa, a fantastic businessman.
What?
An amazing businessman.
Talk about a man who has his own noodles right now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's generational. Like, his whole family, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're all grinding. They're all ambitious. They're all trying to do something. He's actually trying to create a HBCU right now, I believe, where he wants to, you know, help start his own school. Like, that. Hey, I applaud that, man. And Master P is doing amazing things.
And they say, you know, if you look at it, he started selling CDs out of the trunk of his car.
Facts.
For No Limit Records. And then, being a smart businessman, he owned all his masters. So you use any of his music.
Ownership.
Ownership. You use his music at a Bucks game, pay him.
Right.
Use his music at an event, pay him. That guy, if his background in a movie, pay him.
Right.
And it all comes to him. Master P is worth over $200 million. He's a very impressive businessman.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a question that I wanted to ask you. How do these rappers, these actors, get into a situation to where
that there's
stuff out there, like there's memorabilia, there's jerseys, there's, how do I get to a point where I can't even make money off that anymore?
Because you sign away your rights usually for cash advance up front.
Huh.
And you have a lot of athletes, a lot of artists, where they will sign an agreement with their agents. They'll sign an agreement with the company where I'll get $10 million up front, I'll get $5 million up front. You own the rights to me now forever in that little area. So it might be shirts with your name on the back, but you sold away your rights for $5 million. So now
you're getting that up front.
Yeah, you get that up front, which is great.
But what if they profit more than... You're taking an L?
You're taking an L.
Okay. Wow.
That's why there are certain things. Like, let's talk about the brother Eddie Murphy.
Right.
So, Eddie Murphy became one of the richest, most powerful men in Hollywood because he took action on the movies. He took points. Instead of taking $20 million up front, he said, I'll take 10, but then I want 1% of all the profits after we earned our money back.
Huh.
So then, you have a Beverly Hills Cop that goes huge. Guess who's getting 1-2% of that money? Eddie Murphy.
And that's still a come up.
Yes. And so you have a lot of, that's a great question. You have a lot of athletes and musicians who might have come from backgrounds where $1,000 more money they ever had in their pocket. And then you're going to give them $1 million. They're going to sign that.
Take that.
Take care of their people. And then when that money runs out, though, they realize that was a bad deal.
Right.
Huh. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's one of those situations where, you know, you pretty much rolling the dice, you know, like,
yeah.
I know this $5 million could feed me and the fam right now, but if I wait, you know what I'm saying, and hope
is not a plan. That's what I tell all my clients. Hope is not a strategy.
I guess it's like the famous question, you know, like, would you take $250,000 a year for the rest of your life, or would you take $10 million right now? And it's like,
wait, would you take $250,000
a year, so you get that for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
or would you take $10 million, like, right now?
I'm going to take the $250,000.
Some people taking the $10 million right now.
I feel that. I'm going to take the $250,000. Like, let's go, keep coming.
A lot of people saying,
you
don't know what's going to happen. I got bills right now. Like... you don't know what situation somebody could be in at that time.
But I know my bills ain't cost no $250, though. Don't be sure.
Well, here's the funny thing. So, you know about Bobby Bonilla contract? You guys ever remember?
Oh, from the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically, they call it Bobby Bonilla Day. He signed a contract with the Mets where he took a big chunk of money up front.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so that they could sign, he renegotiated. part of his thing was now he gets $1 million annuity every year at a set date. And so I want to see...
Jesus.
Yeah, and it's one of those things...
I never heard of that.
He signed the 5-year, $29 million contract. So then what he did was he had his agent write into it so that once he retired, they kicked some of that money in the back. So now he gets $1 million.
Every year.
Every year. Basically for the rest of his life.
Jesus.
He's set. And that's where...
That's a good contract.
It's one of the best contracts ever.
For real. That's unheard of.
I want everyone to Google the Bobby Bonilla contract and just...
Right, because I ain't never heard of that.
Yeah, it's one of the great ones. So take, bet on yourself. It's one of the things, I think that's a reoccurring message of all our podcasts, I think, because we all are betting on ourselves.
Right.
I think... Kanye has bet on himself. That's how
all
he's making
the time.
That's how he's making the money move.
Uh-huh.
But I also think that sometimes, like what Tone said, you gotta think ahead. And $250 a year for the rest of your life, let's do that math.
You know
every
saying?
4 years, you made $1 million.
Facts.
So let's just see how long you plan on living. So if you think you're young, so think about this. If you live for another 50 years, you're getting $250 every year. Every year. Every year.
Ching, ching!
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, I mean, you said, though, take the money up front. If he manages it right, that's the move.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of those
a lot of people,
things.
Like, it can be, like, if I know I could take this money and I could invest it in something and I could flip it, you know what I'm saying, then, sure, I get that's why you're going to take that up front. But if I don't have no game plan, if I don't have no strategy, like, why would I take all that money just... hoping that I could do something with it.
Yep.
Like, I don't even know what I would do with it if I got it right now. Like,
I feel like
I'm going shopping.
But I feel like different situations.
Everything on the lower level.
Really? What? I'm splurging. What? I'm going in a bar just because everybody shots on me.
It's told.
Watch your what?
Get everybody said.
Who wants to be my friend?
It's $100 every shot. That's what, like, going back to, like, how we were talking about, like, these guys finding something to do with their money.
Right.
Like, think of how hard it is to be at the top of something competing.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's say, you know, you're the best basketball player in Milwaukee right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're competing and you're competing. And then that dwindles down. And before it dwindles down, they found something else to compete in and be the best at it. So at some point in time, Michael Jordan was the best basketball player, right?
Okay, I see what you said.
And it started dwindling down. He like, I'm going to be the best basketball player businessman.
Then it started, I'm going to be the best basketball player and baseball player.
And baseball player, right.
Or golfer.
Right. Yeah, these guys are these like... Pete Miller, perfect example.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the best rapper, basketball player. I'm gonna be the best rapper. I'm gonna be the best entrepreneur. I'm gonna be the best.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do this first. I'm gonna do this first. And being able to stick to it and like come through at the end.
Right.
Like what we don't see is these guys fail.
Uh-huh.
We only see the come up.
Yeah.
Like the only person that we've seen fail really is Kanye. And we
Jordan
see him,
too, though.
And we see
Jordan
him too. Come up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, it's like, wow, think of how many times, like, somebody that's only making $50,000 fail and they just gave up and they continue to make that $50,000 for the rest of their life.
You're right. And like, you know, there's that saying that you remember the rose and you forget the thorns, you know, and that's the truth. You remember what the flower looks like, you forget the pain that's associated with it. We see
until
all the success. Yeah, but then you look at Kanye, you look at how he went broke.
Right.
Then came back up. And his mom's died. And he sort of went down, like just disappeared for a little while. Then he came back. Then he,
right.
You know, then, I mean, like, I'm impressed with people who do that, who bet on themselves
right.
and keep coming back.
But
yeah,
like,
I got to jump back real quick to Bobby Bonilla.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you. So what it was, I forgot, this is a part I forgot. So he signed a very big contract. And I'm not sure the big, no, I think it was like $100 million. It was like the biggest contract of the time. He came back and like, when he was 36 years old, and he had like $6 million left on that contract. So the Mets said, hey, we'll buy you out. Long story short, his agent worked out a deal that every July 1st for 35 years, he gets $1.1 million paid out. So it'll stop when he's 72 years old. Will be the last check he gets.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's love.
Yeah, and that's just smart financial planning.
Right.
And you have other people's advice. If I were to get something, I would come talk to people I respect. to see what their opinion is on.
Right.
You know, and I think that's one of the things we have to do. We get ashamed of talking about money when we take an L.
Right.
We don't want to tell our friends.
Uh-huh.
You know, instead of, man, I did this. And you, how many times your friends tell you situations where they lost money? And you think to yourself, dude, if you just came and talked to me, I would have told you.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. But a lot of people don't want to take that right. That handout, because mm-hmm. that's what essentially we see it as. Like, okay. you giving me something that I don't personally feel like, or I may not be able to return to you, or now I'll have to return this to you with interest. I don't really want to pay that interest.
Yeah.
It may be if it's advice. Like, mm-hmm. so it's like that backhand, like it's like a backhanded compliment in a sense. You know what I'm saying? So
I never
like,
thought of it that way. Yeah, like, that's a good point.
And wow. that's why a lot of people are afraid, even myself. When I first, you know, like I told you mm-hmm. a few podcasts ago, like I didn't talk about financial situations because I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to talk about something I didn't have. Like,
right.
why would I talk about a few $100,000 and I know damn well I don't have it, man. Like, I can't talk about something I don't understand. But no, that's a lie. You wanna educate yourself on those things. You wanna learn about those things, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you gotta overcome that fear of having these conversations and feeling like you're, you know, you're letting yourself down, and you feel like you can't have these conversations because of where you are in your life. You know what I mean? So
I want financial decisions to be driven. Like, three of us all were athletes. That fear of failure is what got you out of bed and made you work hard and made you, like, take the extra hour in the gym.
Right.
Go work out even when you didn't feel like it on Saturdays and Sundays. It was that fear of failure. And I think that sometimes that same fear of failure when it comes to finance
mm-hmm.
makes people shut down. And in athletics, it made you work harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of those things I want to try to demystify that and say, talk about your finances. Talk to your friends. And I learned stuff talking to you two. There are things I didn't think about, directions I didn't think about going, thoughts that I've never had, because my circle of knowledge is in one area. And sometimes you forget to get outside your comfort zone, you know?
Yep.
So I love to hear this stuff. And our conversations, some of the best conversations I have all week, guys. So I'm giving you guys some props.
And one thing that I realized, though, the thing is, you just got to jump into it. You just got to do it. Like,
bet on yourself.
You learn from your own mistakes. You learn from just, like, putting yourself out there. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of time, like, what I'm learning, you know, being, like, a first-year business owner, being, you know, a host of a podcast, a program manager. Like, I'm learning these things because I'm just throwing myself into the water, you know, trying to teach myself how to swim, you know, and just, I'm reaching, don't worry, I'm reaching for life jackets and vests and whatever around me, like, help me, please, if you're there, like,
what? Oh, no. Bring your ass.
Right. But you definitely got to put yourself out there, man.
Okay, I got a question. Speaking of putting myself out there, mm-hmm. I got a question for Mr. B.
Okay.
But hold on, this ain't even the question. I got, don't worry, I got a segment for you to ask all these questions.
I was going
to
ask about the stock.
And that's what we're about to jump into.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because right now, let's jump into stock or crypto. In the stock or crypto segment, Mr. B, go put us on notice about some stock or crypto information. So go ahead, put us on notice.
All right, so on the stock info section, what I'm going to talk about is clean energy, all right? If you're looking for a place right now, if you want to get into investing, you want to look at some things, clean energy is where the move is. Everyone here knows about Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can afford to buy some Tesla stock, it's a good time to buy.
Right.
Okay? It's about $660 a share right now. It's projected to go over 1,000. And that'll be by the end of this year. And it has all the fundamentals. It has a very, very charismatic leader, a very smart leader. They're flush with cash. Those are the companies you want to invest in. They also, for the first time ever, they exceeded deliveries. So they were going to do 165,000 deliveries up to this year to date. They're already at 185,000. So they got their production issues, which was the biggest problem with Tesla. Tone put down $3,000 for a Tesla, his space in line. It took 3 years to get the Tesla. They fixed that. So now that's why I say it's, if you're going to get in, get in.
Huh.
But that's an expensive stock. And since we're talking about money management for the masses, I want to say there's mutual funds that trade like stocks. They're called ETFs, exchange traded funds. The reason that they are called exchange traded funds is that they are traded like a stock. I can trade it with a push of a button at any time during the day. Those are much different from mutual funds, where a mutual fund, very similar to the ETF, they're basically a basket of companies, and it allows individuals like the three of us to get our buy-in of Tesla without spending $600. Hmm. So there are some, and like I said, the difference between ETFs and mutual funds or mutual funds, they can only be sold at the end of the trading day. So at 3 o'clock every day, that's the only time you can sell or buy, or you can only, the only time you can sell a mutual fund. ETFs trade like a stock.
Okay.
All right. One of the things I'll say is there's a few ETFs, IYK and QQQ. Those are all, look up those ticker symbols on your own. Those are all companies or ETFs that hold a lot of Tesla, up to around 15% in most cases. So if you can't afford to buy Tesla individually, buy an ETF that holds Tesla and you'll get some of that spillover effect.
Okay.
Also, look at other electric car companies, you know, like Volkswagen. People don't know that Volkswagen has committed to being 100% electric by 2023. Ford just put billions of dollars into their electronic or electric cars. So don't just think Tesla's the only way to do it. Ford, their stock price is good to buy in now, you know, things like that. So take a look at other companies. There's a lot of Chinese companies, XPeng and NIO. There's a bunch of electric car companies that you can invest in.
And I know you got a question, but let me ask you this. Who is making these cars for these companies? Like, because shouldn't I invest into those people versus Tesla itself? Should I invest? You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's genius. That's genius. So what Tone just said is something I try to tell a lot of my clients. If you can't afford to buy Tesla, find out who is supplying Tesla with its parts.
Huh.
Who is supplying Tesla with the lithium that goes in the batteries that they make? Those are areas where you can buy in at probably a much lower rate.
Right.
And like Tone said, if who's like Apple, if you want to, let's say you don't want to buy Apple stock, well, find out who is making the metal cases that they put the phone in.
Right.
Find out who is making the chips that are going. I mean, those are ways to get in without starting at that high.
Hey, so if you know, go ahead and comment so I can go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, put my bid in.
But of course, because of the nature of the show, I can't say stuff like this on thing, but I'll tell Toe once we're off.
Oh, okay. So that guy, I got the plug.
We got it. Don't y'all worry about nothing, man.
We got the plug.
Y'all see us with a Tesla, mind your business.
Right.
Mind your business.
Hey, but no, Pat, I know you had a stock question, so go ahead and hit a...
Well, I think Mr. B answered all of them. I just had, you know, if I'm watching Set the Bar right now, mm-hmm. you know, and we're live right now, and I'm saying, how do I buy a stock? I'm saying, where?
Okay, I'll say, so how? Best thing is, like, thank goodness for technology. It's made everyone...
Could do anything.
Everyone a stock expert. Unfortunately, not everyone is. So I say, get in with caution. But there are many, many apps, from the Cash App to Robinhood. You've heard of my name. These are all downloadable through the App Store. Those are ways for you to get into investing. I just say the Cash App because it's one that I've read the most up on. There are many more, but Cash App, you can buy crypto on the Cash App if you want to invest in it. There's ways to just do periodic investing every month through those apps. That's where you're going to do it. And then I always tell everyone, if you're going to put your money into something, be sure you read up on it a little bit. Make sure you understand what you're getting involved in and make sure that your money is going toward a company you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people don't think about that. They just want to make profit, profit, profit. But who knows if you want, do any of us in this room want to invest in a company that maybe supports causes that the three of us disagree with?
Mm. Right.
And I think a lot of things, you know, be sure you're looking into that. Don't just look at the dollar and the returns and things like that. Make sure you believe in it. If you like Coca-Cola, invest in Coca-Cola.
Right.
I always tell people that, you know. Well, but if you want to get into clean energy and Tesla and things like that, there are ways to do it without dropping a ton of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. B, so I know you were sitting here telling us about how much stock costs and, mm-hmm. you know, as far as the Tesla, but the shares.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I got two questions. Okay. One, I put $600 into a Tesla, right?
Okay.
And that gets me one share, right?
Okay, yep.
The first question is, how many shares are there?
Keep going.
The second question is, where's that $600 going?
Ah, okay. So first, basically, remember this. This is, whenever you buy a stock, you're buying equity interest in that company. Mm. You're buying stock of that company. So if you give me $600 for a share, I am sending that money to a broker-dealer. The broker-dealer then sends that money to Tesla after they take their fees and
So does that mean I'm part owner?
Yes, technically, yes. You're an equity owner. If the company goes bankrupt, you're one of the creditors.
So they take my money.
Yeah, but they also, you're in the line. If they sell assets, you're in line to get it. You technically are one of the owners of the company.
Okay.
That's why you often hear, like, company owners, like Kanye is a good example. He was very, like, when it came to his fashion and things like that, he refused to sell more than 40% of the stock because he always wanted to stay the majority owner.
Okay.
And that is a very, very big thing. And where what was your second question? Where does the stock go? Or
like, how many shares are there?
Oh, so what happens is there's what they call an IPO, an initial public offering. When they do that, they list how many shares they want to put out there.
Okay.
And then people buy those shares. They then, on the secondary market, they will outsell those shares I bought to the two of you. Then you'll sell them to other people. Then, whenever a company gets to a point where they want to raise more cash, they'll then issue more shares of the stock. So they will file these filings with the SEC and things like that. But more importantly, if they have 1,000 out there, they then just file a thing to put out 2,000 more. And then people pay that and that money comes into the company. And so they pretty much, in a very simplistic way to say this is, they pretty much decide how much they want to keep issuing.
Okay. So is the shares like a percentage that they're like, okay, I'm willing to give up this percentage of my company. Let's throw it in. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I get it. Okay.
So that's why whenever you hear those terms, hostile takeover,
right,
that's where someone is buying up all the shares they can without the permission of the owner of the company.
Okay. Look, so we just got put on notice. I'm playing with them, man. You know what I'm saying? But hey, all right, man, let's jump. We got to start wrapping it up. We've been going. Hey, we've been going, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Hey, man,
it's time to get in the know. The in the know portion of Set the Bar, I pretty much this allowed me and you to ask Mr. B a question that we want to know about as far as finances, making money. And I guess my question for you is, how do you obtain, not necessarily obtain, how do you retain all the information that you have been given over the years, and not only just retain it, but reuse it?
I would say I do just because, this is what I do for a living. So every day I'm in that, what do you want to call it, that arena?
Right.
So I'm constantly, but also I really, as hard as it is to believe, I enjoy this. Like I enjoy what I do. So it's exciting for me to read about stuff because I view it like a chess game. I just want to try to get to make the moves that are going to make my clients the most money, myself the most money as well. But then also I view it as something it's interesting to me. So you know how it is. It's easy to read a book you're interested in.
Facts. I see.
You know, and so honestly, I just make sure that when my friends, like you might send me a link and say, hey, B, what do you think about this? I read the whole article, and go through it and say, oh, you know what? I didn't even think about that. That leads me to then read some more stuff.
Right.
And then, like I was telling you 2 weeks ago, I said, I've been reading about crypto. That's all I've been reading about because I didn't understand it well enough to really give my clients direction on it. So that's what I've been reading. And now it just sticks. You know what I mean? Because I keep hearing it and I keep talking about it. And then I write everything down. You know that.
Right.
I write everything down. Mm-hmm. So I have pages and pages of information that will put you to sleep. But it's stuff that I need to
know. Right. Mm-hmm. So a key point is what you're telling us is to write it down, to try to use it every day, to read about it, educate yourself more on it. Like, because, for me, as far as like I'm saying, how do you retain? Because I know, like, as I'm taking in a lot of this information that you're giving me, you're giving us, I have to go back and re-listen to the podcast. I have to go back and be able, like you said, write it down because I like to write a lot of stuff down as well. I have to visualize it, you know what I'm saying? So so that's why I was trying to get a pointer as far as what's your idea or best way for people to retain information as well as reusing
it. Yeah, I think putting pen to paper always helps you retain things. You don't necessarily, even if you just never maybe go back to that note again, it sticks in your brain a little bit quicker. You remember this, you hear and learn and remember everything I said. So everything the three of us have said that we've all remember it, you just have to trigger it to get it to come back out.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the stuff that I also do, Tone, is that I get asked questions that I don't know the answer to. And I will tell a client, I'll tell you, I'll be like, I don't know. I'll have to dig into it. So then that digging into it, a lot of times that brings a whole bunch of new knowledge to
me.
And I can get you an answer to your question, but I also raise my knowledge a little bit
too. You also set the bar.
Yes, indeed. Raise that bar up.
Go ahead, LP.
I guess my question
that I have for you would be, so for all those people, I know we had a, we already had our segment on stimulus checks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like how that works. And for all those people that have, you know, $600, $400 left, you know, of their stimulus check, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like, ah, man, I spent some of my money. I still got a little bit of money left.
Mm-hmm.
What should they be doing with that money right now?
Pay down debt. That is the most important thing. Right now, that is the biggest anchor around people's future.
Right.
Is debt. Debt is out of control in this country. If you have a credit card bill, and I know that sounds weird to say that, but debt is what holds people back from investing. Because you can't invest, you can't look forward if you owe all these people in the behind you.
Right.
It's hard to look forward. And so I tell clients sometimes bankruptcy is the best option for some people. Sometimes trimming your expenses is the best option. And sometimes when a stimulus check comes, that's extra money you didn't expect. If you've got a credit card bill that's got $400 left on it, use that $400 to pay right. that off. Because interest payments are what kill minorities financially for years and years in the past. And that's why moving forward, I want to get people off of that.
Right.
Debt is the one thing that I would say, put your money towards your debt.
Hey, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I took that advice. Not going to lie to y'all. I got a credit increase this last week, so I'm with it right now. You know what I'm saying? I got a credit line increase, baby. But no.
Because here's why you want that credit increase, Tone. If you get to a spot where things are good, but you want to add some new equipment, you have the credit to increase your business, pay it back, and then you'll make profits from it.
Right.
But if you are just buying new kicks, while you invest that mentally, it's emotionally rewarding. It's not going to reward you.
Oh, you
no
mean
longer.
These?
Oh, man. Tone, another pair of shoes. How weird. But no, that's what I would think. I think if you're going to have some stimulus money and you've got some debt, I would recommend putting it toward the debt. Even if that debt is just, you know, I always tell people, if they owe back rent, they owe to get yourself level
right.
before you start trying to move forward.
Man, I like that. I like that. Mr. B going crazy over here for us. All right, Mr. B. Well, it's time to wrap it up, and you know what that means. Well, honestly, because before we wrap it up, I did want to do one thing each episode. I want to start highlighting small businesses. So this is the spotlight. This is the spotlight where we give recognition to small business owners that we may personally know or people that we have seen along the way, and we just want to give them a shout out. So my small business shout out goes to my boy Godfrey, Living Loaded. Living Loaded is his clothing brand, which stands for Living Off a Dream Everyone Has Doubted, or Living Off a Dream Everyone Doubted. Make sure y'all go check out the bro's gear. His merchandise is fire, and the message behind it, It speaks for itself, man. So shout out to the boy Godfrey, doing big things, man, expanding his business, expanding his brand. Y'all check out the Living Loaded website. It's located right there.
All right. You got anyone? I got Pion Media, to be honest with you. And I know that sounds like self-serving, because Tone's right here. I'm not saying it because of that, because I want to put him on notice, because he spends all his time giving all of us some shine. And I just want to give this guy some shine, because as much effort as he puts into things, as much gear as he produces and shows me, and how much stuff I try to steal every time I'm near his supply of stuff, I'm telling you, that's something I want to put y'all on notice. That if you go online, get some Pion gear, start repping this everywhere. I tell Tone every time I'm in the airport, I'm like, yeah.
He wore the 6 feet no pressure.
6 feet no pressure. I was at the airport, and people were looking at it, and they're like, they moved 6 feet away. I'm like, yeah, no pressure.
Right.
So yeah, my spotlight is actually on Mary Tone.
You know what I'm saying?
Pion Media.
Yes, sir.
It's more than just a name.
You know what I'm saying?
Go check it out.
All right, man. All right. So in closing, Mr. B, go ahead and give us a positive quote, or you know, some positive affirmations on our way out of here.
Well, you know, I will tell you this. If I can say anything after the week DMX, who's someone, like I said, I look up to, past, and I just think about career, a guy like that who started from nothing out of Yonkers, New York. He just was like he's a dog. He was a bulldog. He wasn't going to stop until he got what he wanted. So I'm going to really just say the thing I want to leave everybody with is do you. Focus on you, believe in yourself, and don't give up. Don't listen to other people telling you you can't do something. Listen to that inner voice that tells you, this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do to get that. So believe in yourself, believe in your dream, and make that dream a reality. That's it. I can leave anybody with that. That's what I'm going to leave with this week.
Hey, I love that. Lord, give me a sign. You know what I'm saying?
Give a sign. Give
a sign. DMX, man. Rest in peace, King. Yep, and y'all just been put on notice.
Peace.